Radio Netherlands, not national, but international, broadcasting direct from Northwest Europe. Media Network, the weekly communications magazine with Diana Janssen and Jonathan Marks.
Music from Mali, heralding a special feature on African radio broadcasting. For in countries across that continent, the literacy rate is between 30 and 50%. Radio is therefore the primary way people get information. 30 years ago, there were an estimated 7 million radios. Now there are around 80 million receivers amongst 500 million people.
The radio scene across Africa started to change as the wind of democracy began blowing at the end of the 1980s. As Europe focused attention on the collapse of the Berlin Wall and communism in Eastern Europe, many Africans descended into the streets and demanded wide-ranging political reforms. Since independence in the 1960s and 70s, many countries have been ruled by authoritarian leaders or been plagued by military coups. Today, the pressure for reform is even greater, but not everyone is at the same stage. In Kenya, the opposition party says it wants to do a deal with the former Radio Caroline boss, Ronan O'Reilly, to start offshore broadcasting, because the Kenyan Broadcasting Corporation only broadcasts the government's position.
Meanwhile, in West Africa, Gambia has had independent radio since 1990. Nigeria's first station followed in 1994, and in Ghana, the monopoly of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation broke down at the beginning of this year. Dr. Kwame Kwarekedi is the director of the Department of Mass Communications at the University of Legon in Accra.
The radio station was started in mid-January this year, and the station is completely operated by students. And we want it to stay like that because it belongs to the students and it is for the students to entertain themselves, educate the community and use it to also learn how to broadcast.
The experimental station broadcasts on 105.7 megahertz from 6:45 in the morning until 9:30 at night, pumping out a daily diet of music, quizzes, discussions, news about the university and programs for the communities around Legon University, situated right outside Accra. Despite its status as the first non-government radio station in Ghana, there are no plans to go commercial, though. The station has started looking for sponsors to underwrite some of the programmes, but Dr. Karakeri says the University of Ghana's radio will remain a community-based station.
I think that community radio stations would be an enormous advance in educating people, in helping people to look at their problems, and in advancing democracy, really. Because if people in their communities can get their views and feelings about events and issues in their communities on the radio station, it will give people greater encouragement and self-confidence about their affairs of their communities and of the national situation. Again, one very important thing that community stations, not the university station, but other community stations will be of use is the use of our own local languages. Because the national radio station cannot cater for all the languages all the time. However, I think that community radio stations should stay away from certain things that could be divisive. Just because they are local, we must be careful not to encourage tribal sentiments, not to encourage sectarian religious sentiments that would divide those same communities.
That's always been the dilemma for governments. Could community radio lead to revolution? The power of local radio was demonstrated in a tragic way in 1994 when Radio Milcolin in Rwanda broadcast hate messages and stimulated Hutu listeners to massacre their Tutsi brothers.
Soule Iziaka is head of Radio Netherlands African Unit, which will reopen an office in Benin in the next few weeks. He spent the last few years analysing the broadcasting scene, but notes that, unlike in the Caribbean and Latin America, where radio was instrumental in starting a revolution, that didn't happen in Africa.
Not at all. We are talking about the democratization starting in 1989, and everybody knows that the governmental radio was already the only radio. They have a monopoly situation, but at the same time, they were the only reference covering all the countries except international broadcasting, which is coming time by time. So the radio pluralism, that is how we call it in Africa today, the radio pluralism is a consequence of democracy and not what has generated the democracy.
As you tune the 60-meter tropical band in the evening hours in Europe, you'll quite often bump into African stations, and quite often the station is broadcasting a speech. Soule says the significance of these long speeches is often misunderstood in the West.
I think that people have a cultural problem to understand how radio is used in Africa. I think that more than other civilizations, radio is coping with Africa oral tradition that we call on an intellectual circles, we call it orature. That means all that civilization based on oral communication. I have had a kind of surprise once with one of my American friends who couldn't follow a very long speeches and intellectual program in France through what they call France Culture, because when you call a professor, then he's talking 1 hour and a half. Then the American couldn't have a break to take his Coca-Cola or to breathe. But that is not a problem for people who have orature as tradition, that means oral tradition. So when you take a radio in Africa and you hear speeches, first, you must know how to decode the speeches. And the speeches can be more important than what the people in fact is saying.
Remember, the radio tells you who's in power, what's on their agenda, and as a civil servant, whether you still have a job.
So when you are part of the civil servant, or you are in private business related to the government, and don't forget also the real centralization of everything in Africa, especially in the capital, where you have the state. So even if the radio has 3 hours of a speech, better for you to listen to it to know what will be your career or what type of game you can play through power. Let us take Bamako, which is the capital of the West African country of Mali. Mali is a pioneer. In Bamako, 1.5 years ago, when I have been sent there by Radio Netherlands, we were a little afraid because 10 radio stations on the small area like Bamako has no chance to survive because of the advertising revenue. When I have been there a few months ago, not only 10 radio stations were functioning, but you have now something like 14, which means the station haven't disappeared, but they progress. Now, I have tried to understand this movement, and it was very simple. You can play music, you can do what you want, but you need to have a niche. And each station, each radio station has found its niche. That means you have one for the taxi drivers, you have one for the woman selling on the market, then you have one radio for the so-called intellectuals, then you have one radio for the youth, and you have other general one. And one of my colleague in Mali has again explained to me how, for example, he has succeeded to make his radio functioning in terms of revenue. He has asked all his DJs, he said, I divide the timetable in hours. If you take these hours, then you have to find a sponsor. So that DJ went, and many DJs went then in town. And they found what we couldn't imagine. The woman on the market wanted to sponsor this type of program. And now, my friend say he doesn't have any more nightmares in terms of how to handle every month salaries. There is no salary, but it is the DJs who were bringing. And by doing so, the radio became also popular.
Francis Rolt has also just been in Mali on the fringes of the Sahara as an advisor for a British charity. He confirms things are going quite well.
The one I was working for instance, was completely independent, funded by Oxfam, but a tiny little station, 250-watt transmitter.
What's it called?
Radio Dande Duensa, that means the voice of Duensa, which is the name of the town.
Are they trying to set these stations up as commercial operations to make money?
Well, it depends. There are several which have been set up for that reason, particularly in Bamako, in the capital. But Mali's not a rich place. And so most of the rural or community radio stations there have been set up by non-governmental organisations, you know, charities, or by other organisations with similar kind of, like Save the Children Fund, I think, has a radio station there and other people as well. This one's funded by Oxfam. So it broadcasts quite a lot of music, but also does a lot of work on democracy and decentralisation, which is a big issue in Mali at the minute, on health, on education, on literacy, and so on.
But isn't there an underlying fear that the government might turn the clock back and nationalise stations if they get too popular?
I think in Mali that the democratisation process is so popular that so far the government is very happy with community radio stations, and also the population is so spread out and so sparse that you know, a small radio station like Radio Dande Duensa reaches 100,000 people who are 800 kilometres from the capital with no means of getting to the capital, and the idea of them, I mean, they might cause problems locally, but politics and religion are specifically forbidden from the radio. So although issues may be discussed, specific political parties or any kind of support for any individual political party is completely out of the question.
Another source of finance turns out to be Western religious organisations who've been travelling the African continent looking for transmitters to air their programmes.
In Mali, I heard a lot of radio stations which are taking American religious channels on their FM transmitters, which is very strange. I mean, they're broadcasting in English to a population whose national language is Bambara. The educated people speak French and everyone else speaks the local language and don't understand English, French or Bambara. So I don't quite know what they think they're doing there.
Just taking the money?
Yeah, I suppose so, yes.
Soule believes that, given the democratic process, African radio will develop itself.
You can't even imagine 1 minute that those radio can be run by Europeans. I can say that 90% of all radio stations are run by Africans. Most of the time, you are facing former journalists or radio producers who have found it very exciting to go for adventure in that field. And then you have a good business. In Africa, it is impossible to conceive a society now without radio pluralism when they have been already through democracy and the system. You have in few countries the government trying not to open too much the landscape, you know, Ivory Coast, I think Benin, I'm talking Nigeria, but most of them will have to open it more and more because in neighboring countries, you already have a very open landscape. That is first thing. The second thing is that the stations, the radio stations near the border, you know, is broadcasting in other countries. So if you don't want to open as a government, if you don't want to open your landscape, then your population will be turned to other countries. And that can be more dangerous, especially in Africa, with what has happened here and there, Rwanda, Liberia, etc., etc.
Radio Enezi Kardaba Fon Gil Kapi, ne woto ankato. Runda lebe ya Sibiri. Wakata ni wasasa.
The problem in many African countries like Burkina Faso to the north of Ghana has been that radio and television did little to encourage public debate. even though, like in Ghana, some programs are produced in local languages. Governments felt it was more important for presidents, ministers, and their entourage to parade across the screen on the evening news day after day than to actually inform people. According to René Sebgo, the editor-in-chief of the newsroom of Burkina Faso's national radio station, before the liberalization of the media, the situation had reached absurd proportions.
Un séminaire, nous aurons par exemple cinq discours de ministres.
During a seminar, up to five ministers would often drone on. I just wonder who was listening. Every day we received, look at this. Let's see, a graduation ceremony, the conclusion of a conference on the agronomic interpretation of soil data, the quarterly meetings of ministries, embassy receptions. I remember one day we had 12 reports, 11 of them were about the opening and closing of seminars. We used to record every single speech and try to broadcast as much as we could, up to 10 minutes. It became just background noise. Well, now I say no speeches in the news unless someone has something spectacular to say. Today, reporters can go off to a seminar with a 15-minute tape, and that's enough. Nowadays, we can actually interview the minister and ask him, for example, what he expects to achieve by organising yet another conference. They're often a bit embarrassed at that. However, I think that for some time to come, we are going to continue to cover too many seminars, which aren't really important for listeners.
Je crois qu'on va encore traîner longtemps à couvrir des colloques, votre séminaire qui ne sont pas forcément importants.
Canal InfoSport. Votre rendez-vous sportif sur Canal Arc-en-Ciel. Résultats, commentaires, analyses.
Private radio stations like Canal Arc-en-Ciel or the Rainbow Channel in Ouagadougou have given the government an impetus to make Radio Burkina's programming more relevant. But the battle to free Radio Burkina of its status as a government mouthpiece actually began 4 years ago.
It started with the referendum on the constitution in June 1991. All the political leaders, even those who'd been living in exile, suddenly discovered that they could speak on the radio and criticize the political and economic system in our country. We were even given permission to cover the press conferences of opposition parties. At Radio Burkina, we have to try and follow the private press, which is freer. But we're still lacking one essential freedom. We still write stories based on what the employers want, rather than what the listeners want.
Par rapport à tous les paramètres qu'on connaît, qui est l'employeur, mais véritablement, qu'est-ce que l'auditeur veut savoir?
Radio Burkina is still a state-run station, like in many African countries. It is not a public broadcaster. René Segbo doubts that will change.
Some of our employees have very little training or experience, and they try to become friends with certain politicians who make sure they remain on staff. In general, these people have a hard time fulfilling the station's mission to inform people. They have too many private political interests. Frankly, I could not care less about my employees' political affiliation. But journalists have a duty to try to remain unbiased in their reporting, and that is still not the case here.
Vous êtes toujours à l'écoute des émissions de Radio Burkina et matin de Ouagadougou, il est 22h.
Burkina Inter Actualité.
Burkina Inter Actualité, la quatrième et dernière édition avec Newton Ahmed Barry. Bonsoir.
La prolifération des armes dans notre sous-région et l'insécurité que cela engendre préoccupent le secrétaire général de l'ONU.
Burkina Faso will soon establish an independent body to monitor the media, called the Communication and Audiovisual High Council. René Sebgo believes that if journalists are well represented on that council, things could really begin to change.
We are making progress. In some of our extended news editions at 1 p.m, I've dared to broadcast some critical reports. Many people thought I'd be fired for that, but I was criticising the government's nonchalant attitude towards public hygiene. The legislature is doing nothing. But I also believe the opposition's resting on its laurels and just waiting for elections, and I said so on the air. Surprisingly, some politicians called me up and thanked me for giving them a dressing down, while others weren't very happy. We tell our journalists, go ahead, go ahead. But it must come from the journalists themselves.
Este é o Serviço Internacional da Rádio Nacional de Angola a transmitir de Luanda nos seguintes emissores.
You are tuned to the program in English of the International Service of the Angola National Radio, broadcasting from Luanda.
In Angola, too, significant changes are taking place. Even before the signing of the latest peace agreement with the UNITA rebels in May of last year, the Angolan government had begun to liberalize the airwaves, according to Gilberto Jr., the head of Angola National Radio's production department.
Em Angola existem rádios privadas. Em Luanda, por exemplo, nós temos a LAC, Luanda Antena Comercial, é uma rádio privada.
There are private radio stations in Angola, like Luanda. We have a station called LAC, Luanda Antena Comercial, a private station. And there are commercial stations in a number of other cities. And it looks like there'll soon be more private stations in Luanda. And if I'm not mistaken, UNITA will also be able to set up its own private radio station here in Luanda if it wants.
UNITA's radio station, Radio Vorgan, better known in English as the Voice of the Black Cockerel, starts its daily broadcast at 7 a.m. local time on 9700 kilohertz, switches to 11830 kHz at 1 p.m. in the afternoon, and then at 8 p.m. it adds the frequency of 7100 kHz.
Sim, sim, a UNITA tem uma própria emissora de rádio que é emitida a partir da Jamba. A Jamba fica situada na província de Quantocobamba.
UNITA has its own radio station which still broadcasts from Jamba in the province of Quantocumbango, near the Namibian border. Under the Lusaka Protocol, UNITA's shortwave station will be able to continue broadcasting for 9 months after the signing of the protocol. The agreement stipulates also that the UNITA station should encourage a spirit of reconciliation.
But that doesn't seem to be what the Voice of the Black Cockerel is doing at the moment. Long official communiques issued by the UNITA leader, Dr. Jonas Savimbi, are read out on the station, accusing the government of preparing massive attacks on several UNITA cities, buying tanks from Russia and planes from Israel, using state funds to hire foreign mercenaries, and the list continues.
Comunicado do gabinete do presidente. Ponto 1.
At Angola National Radio, Gilberto Jr. says his station is working actively towards peace and national reconciliation.
A Rede Nacional de Angola está por cima do acontecimento, tanto mais que durante...
Angolan National Radio has been doing this. For example, we covered the signing of the peace agreement in Lusaka. Under that peace accord, we are supposed to achieve national reconciliation in a short period, maybe 1 or 2 years. RNA is broadcasting features on some aspects of the peace agreements. We broadcast interviews, cover conferences and roundtable meetings, which bring together the main players in Angolan politics. We are also trying to bring about tolerance. This country needs a great deal of tolerance. If there is no tolerance, the peace we long for will not come about.
And tolerance means that Angolan radio could well take UNITA radio employees on staff. A significant step in this polarized society.
Angolan radio's efforts to bring about national reconciliation are also causing a major shake-up at the station, says Gilberto Jr.
Bom, a Rede Nacional Angola tem feito grande esforço no sentido de autonomizar.
Angolan National Radio is making a major effort to decentralize some of our radio stations. Radio Luanda will soon stop broadcasting from here. It will move to another building and will be autonomous. Autonomy will also be granted to the station which broadcasts in national languages, as well as FM stereo, one of our other radio services. But they will not be privatized. They will continue to be state-owned. However, the all-music station FM stereo is supposed to generate income from commercials for its survival.
This is Angola in reports, interviews and comments.
This is Angola, the news and current affairs program on social, economic, political, military issues.
Despite all the changes in the Angolan media scene, Gilberto Jr. says there are no plans to modify Angola National Radio's international service.
At present, we have 100 kilowatt transmitters which enable us to broadcast in French and English to this region of Africa. Our coverage extends from Gabon in Central Africa to South Africa. We broadcast 3 hours a day in French and English, and that is sufficient.
Este é o Serviço Internacional da Rádio Nacional de Angola a transmitir de Luanda nos seguintes emissores.
Radio Burkina, like Angola National Radio, has set up an FM station independent of the national radio station. It broadcasts light entertainment, a lot of music and commercials. It was set up in response to several private stations appearing on the Burkinabe airwaves, as well as Radio France International and Africa No. 1, both of which broadcast on FM in Ouagadougou.
But the battle is lopsided. Radio Burkina's trump card, its extended news transmissions at 1 and 7 p.m., are also broadcast by the private stations for a symbolic sum of 150,000 CFA francs. That's about $300. But Radio Burkina has a much more serious handicap.
Le problème pour Radio Burkina aujourd'hui, c'est ses émetteurs affaiblis.
Radio Burkina's problem is its weak transmitters. We're able to cover less than a third of the country. We can reach Dakar in Senegal on shortwave, but we can't be heard 150 kilometres from here. A short circuit damaged both the medium and shortwave transmitters, as well as our spare transmitters, some time ago. What happened? The Prime Minister's office called an emergency meeting. The communications minister went through a pair of shoes walking back and forth to the Prime Minister's office. All the managers were trembling. And finally, they decided that the transmitters could be repaired. They fixed them, and they're now working again, more or less like before.
But finally, there seems to be a growth in FM stations being run by international broadcasters. Soule Iziaka believes that in some cases, international stations have jumped the queue in the process to get FM licenses. That has led to some bad feelings among local entrepreneurs.
Not only jealousy, but I think that they have made a political mistake, because suddenly, and that has been often done by France, which has, tried to get quickly some new frequencies before the national conference. But something is very clear today, is that Radio France International, no matter where they have the new FM relay stations in Africa, Radio France International is losing audience. Why? In the beginning, many African urban audience have thought that they will get more and more about Africa when they will listen to Radio France International all day. What has happened is that Radio France International was only talking about Africa in few niches in the day. That means in the morning, in the midday, and in the beginning of the evening. But the rest of the time, they are talking about what is happening in Ardèche, what is happening in Marseille, what is happening in France. But the new generation in Africa, they don't have Europe as example. They grow, they went to university. In Africa itself, they have been more in touch with the local realities. So what they want to know maybe is what is happening in the neighboring country. Maybe what is happening in South Africa, even if it is very far. What's happening in Algeria, okay, they can still accept. But they don't mind, I'm sorry, about what is happening in Den Haag, in Holland. They don't mind about what is happening in Marseille.
which is why Radio Netherlands is taking a different approach to make radio relevant for the region we're serving. More on that in a later programme. In the meantime, thanks to Eric Beauchemin for a lot of research behind the scenes on this special African feature.
Mike Bird, Provocation.
And we quickly cross to Mike in Melbourne for a look back at the last 7 days' propagation. Mike.
Considering we are enjoying solar minimum conditions, propagation last week was reasonably good. Solar activity was, as usual, low all week. The solar flux started the week at 80. On Friday and Saturday it was 81, and by Tuesday it had dropped to 76. The average works out to 79.2, which equals an effective sunspot number of 19, and that is up 2 points on the previous week's level. The geomagnetic field disturbance indicator, the estimated planetary A index, ranged between 6 and 1, which represents quiet conditions. Considering everything, not a bad week.
And what about between now and July 20th?
IPS Radio and Space Services expect solar activity will remain low. The geomagnetic field should remain quiet to unsettled, except between Saturday and Monday, when we are expecting a coronal hole will produce active conditions.
Thanks, Mike.
Let me squeeze in two tuning suggestions. Arthur Cushion reports that HCJB in Ecuador has now switched to 5900 kHz for its service to the Pacific at 07 to 1130 UTC, and Vanuatu has come up on 4960 kHz at 19 hours UTC, and also is noted from fade-in at 05 hours to sign-off at 1115 UTC. The frequency again, 4960 kHz.
That's it. More tips and features in 7 days. In the meantime, from Jonathan and me, have a pleasant weekend.
Media Network, produced and presented by Jonathan Marks and Diana Janssen for Radio Netherlands, the Dutch International Service.